Hello everyone and welcome to your Monitor International's Fashion Friday podcast series. I'm joined today by Nina Marston, London-based fashion and luxury analyst, and Jamie Ko, Seoul-based research manager. Today they will be discussing the growing role South Korea is playing in influencing fashion at global level, especially among Gen Z. Nina and Jamie, welcome to the podcast. I'll hand it over to you.
Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be a part of the podcast. We're going to start our discussion today about the increasing influence of South Korean culture on Western European luxury. Hallyu is a Chinese term that translates to the Korean wave, and it refers to the transcendence and increasing popularity of South Korean cultural exports, such as South Korean TV dramas and pop music or K-pop. The movement started in Asian countries such as China and Japan from the mid-1990s to the mid-2000s. And now we are experiencing the second wave, or Hallyu 2.0, and it's becoming really popular in Western countries as more consumers globally embrace Korean TV dramas, music, fashion, beauty, food, etc. As a result, luxury brands are seeking out more collaborations with Korean celebrities as global brand ambassadors. For example, recently, the BTS Septet were all made Louis Vuitton brand ambassadors and staged a special fashion show for the latest menswear collection. The increasing number of collaborations seems to confirm the growing strength of Korea's cultural currency. Why is that, Jamie?
Well, Korean luxury market has shown quite unique changes during this pandemic. Between 2020 to 2021, Korea data shows positive growth back, especially in luxury leather goods, luxury jewelry, and designer's apparel. We see this phenomenon due to restriction of personal leisure and travel. According to Euromonitor data, travel in Korea overall, I think like other countries as well, has shown drastic fall. It is given fact that Koreans love to go abroad and spending for travel, and it was massively hit by pandemic. Then where would those spending go? It is showing that consumers would spend money on luxury items, compensating the missing experience from travel. Moreover, Gen Z generation's insecurity about money is also pushing this purchase, as the real estate market has been unstable and housing prices has gone up. And all the social networks shows many cases of earning money through stocks and coins, and many of them try to find a way of spending rather than saving it because they cannot buy a house in short time anyway. But at the same time, they try to find investment in luxury items. We have words called like Shotech or Roll Tech, which is combination of Chanel and investment tech and Rolex and investment tech, expecting the price increase of Chanel bag or Rolex watch and earning some money. For those reasons, luxury brands are pursuing these opportunities is to incorporate diversity and inclusion to appeal to young consumers who can find inspiration, newness, and distinctiveness in their digital content.
Wow, I love that idea of Shatech or Roltech. That's really cool. Maybe we'll see that in the West soon. But we're also seeing European millennial consumers whose lives have been disrupted because of the pandemic. They've been buying luxury items as investment pieces as well. And also like investing in luxury items because it's so difficult to get on the property ladder, especially for millennials. Something else I'd love to ask you is that Korea has long been a tastemaker in Asia Pacific, and now obviously as part of Hallyu 2.0, this is spreading to the West. Why do we think Korea's cultural influence is growing globally, especially among Gen Z?
Nina, you're right. Yes, Korea has shown strong culture expansion globally in past few years, and this is thanks to development of content and its channel, including social media platform, as well as OTT over-the-top channel, including Netflix. Exposure of contents and growing popularity of K-pop stars like BTS have huge impact on this expansion for sure. According to Euromonitor's recent global consumer trends, people are trying to find a way to play with time, and these boost exposure to media and contents. Netflix just announced that they will invest $470 million for Netflix Korea developing K-contents, showing that the company sees the potential in driving audiences globally with those K-contents.
Yeah, I think the Netflix influence is huge, especially on consumers in the West right now, especially in Europe and the States. As mentioned before, more designer brands such as Fendi, Dior, Chanel are all featuring Korean stars in their campaigns and as influential figures at their fashion shows. Dior collaborates with Bae Suji, for example, who recently starred in the Netflix hit drama Startup. Do you think this is a successful move for luxury brands? Do you think that Korea's influence in the fashion world will continue to grow? Or is the trend at its peak? Why or why not?
Well, this is a bit tricky to say at the moment, as Hallyu has been there for more than years, but mostly an APAC region. Now it seems affecting in broader sense in geographically. Yet I think it is early to tell if it is at its peak or not. But I can see that these trends are definitely affected by the pandemic, and we aren't sure if this trend will continue or not. This situation will be concluded in the fact that how much people can travel and leverage shopping from that sense or not, and how much K-contents keep continuing its popularity and expansion.
Yeah, you're completely right. It's really hard to predict what will happen even in the next year, given, you know, all the fact that things just keep changing so rapidly. But I do think that as consumers seem to be increasingly relying on social media for connection and discovery of new things, and as well as on streaming platforms like Netflix for entertainment, there's probably more possibility for the expansion of Korea's influence on global youth culture. E-commerce and social media have extended the reach of luxury brands to every corner of the globe, making luxury more exposed to the critical eye of younger consumers, who are set to make up the majority of the luxury consumer base in the not-so-distant future. What European luxury consumers are looking for is brand purpose and distinctiveness. They're also expecting that brands be sustainably oriented and socially progressive in terms of embracing things like diversity and inclusion. According to Euromonitor International's Lifestyle Survey 2021, nearly 30% of European Gen Z and millennials buy from brands that support social and political issues that are aligned with their values. And 30% of European millennials and 25% of European Gen Z make their purchasing decisions based on brands or companies' social and political beliefs. Despite luxury brands being under more pressure to embrace diversity and inclusion through their offerings and communications, their brand codes and narratives still remain culturally very Western European. For example, the idea of La Parisienne still permeates Dior and Chanel. And in some ways, global consumers seem to still buy into this mythology. Would you say that Korean consumers are looking for brands to be more inclusive of their culture in terms of things like storytelling and marketing?
According to Euromonitor Lifestyle Survey, people are more cautious of their spending. Emotions are influencing consumers' choices more and more, and the purchase decisions are increasingly based on how well a product or service align with buyers' personal values or priorities. Many are willing to pay a premium to achieve this, especially in a relation to like health and safety and convenience and the environmental and social concerns. So in that sense, Korean consumers, especially younger generations, are falling on the same aspect on purchasing luxury items. Yet, it is also important for them for self-image or appearance to others, for like consumers or in the market in general.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Pride in one's image and success seem to be important for European consumers as well. We're also seeing that some young consumers outside of Europe are trying to celebrate their own cultures. For example, there's a phenomenon in China where young consumers are repatriating their purchases and looking for locally made luxury labels. Do young Koreans prefer to buy into these narratives that celebrate European ideals, or is there a trend of wanting luxury from their own culture?
I think it's more latter case of your question, Nina. Koreans see more of luxury brands and ownership in two different aspects. The first is showing my own social financial status and investment. And the other thing is, and like the price and uniqueness, how it play big parts in the notion that I think it is hard to say that Korean consumers are more into European ideals. Rather, it is more of a Korean culture aspect that is appealing to consumers who purchase these luxury items.
Could you talk about what these specific cultural aspects are that drive the motivation for Korean consumers to purchase luxury?
Okay, I think this has to be like tricky and, you know, be very cautiously dealt with, because I don't want to say this is overall general Korean sense, but like it is more of the sort of like common, but like a major social notion that appearance and proving your own financial status matters a lot for people in Korea. So I think this is really strong idea that has been embedded in Korean culture, especially who are very like a strong interest or willing to buy the purchase the luxury items. That's what I can say about this.
I mean that is really interesting as well, you know, in terms of what different luxury consumers are looking for. And while it seems that Western European consumers and Korean consumers differ in terms of their expectations a little bit from the brands in which they invest, the luxury industry will still have to evolve and better understand consumer groups across different communities and cultures to accurately represent and meet the needs of its increasingly diverse consumer base. So luxury brands will need to be more inherently socially progressive, which is a challenge as luxury is built on exclusivity and hierarchy. And as we know, diversity and inclusion can take on different meanings, such as sexual orientation, ethnic background, or even personality, like whether you're introverted or extroverted. But essentially, representation of different cultures and communities is increasingly important. We know that in 2019, Kering hired Kalpana Bagaman as Chief Diversity, Inclusion, and Talent Officer. As with the strategy spearheaded by Bagaman, the industry can perhaps focus on internally changing the perspectives and behaviors of colleagues working, you know, in the back office or in the design team to enact change externally. As creativity and innovation are the driving forces of the luxury industry, having diverse perspectives engaged in an inclusive environment will only strengthen creativity and innovation. And maybe this is the most promising way forward for luxury brands. You know, as I spoke about before, young European consumers are increasingly looking for distinctiveness and to tap into different communities and cultures, both from a social justice perspective, but also from the perspective of young consumers, especially Gen Z, rejecting societal norms in the pursuit of building their identities on their own terms. Today's luxury industry, however, is built on an ideology of aspiration, but we're seeing that young consumers want to be empowered as they are, instead of subscribing to ideas of what they should be or aspire to be. And kind of in conclusion, as awareness and interest in Korean culture grows Korean cultural exports become more popular globally, it would be exciting and probably a successful move to not only have Koreans be the face of luxury brands, but also a creative force for both brand narrative and strategy in the future.
Nina, Jimmy, thank you very much for sharing your insights. Certainly a lot of food for thought for our listeners. And thank you all for listening to this podcast. For more Fashion Friday episodes and other multimedia content, you can check our website at euromonitor.com/podcast. /insights.